Three-time Wisconsin Sports Writer of the Year, Jason Wilde.
There aren't any Jasons 12 and under. That's a dead name.
Packers Hall of Famer, Mark Tauscher.
How many kids do you hear, hey, Marky, it might be almost to the point of Ruth.
Broadcasting live from the Everlight Solar Studio.
You love that name so much, you don't even go by it.
On 100.5 ESPN.
If you call me Mark, I like my name. I like my name a lot.
The ESPN Wisconsin app.
Wilde and Tosh.
And ESPN Madison on YouTube.
It's Wilde and Touch, isn't it?
This is Wilde and Tosh, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin.
It's a regular Wednesday. Brian Blog is going to join us. Homer's going to join us. I'm sure nothing will go wrong edition. The speaking of going wrong, the nation's flight travel challenges continue, which may be affecting our little program right here edition. And the look, we are immensely appreciative, thankful of all of our cousin subs, we believe in better. Bulaga did it twice. Homer did it twice. We've had all kinds of great cousin subs over the many years we've been doing this show. And we will continue to need them. But it's always better when the big fella, old boy, is on the program. We'll challenge that theory today, though. Edition of Wilde and Tausch on 94.5 ESPN Milwaukee, 100.5 ESPN Madison, 1430 ESPN Beaverdam, ESPNWisconsin.com, the ESPN app, your Alexa smart speaker, streaming live video, Twitter, still working on Facebook and YouTube, and of course everything you could possibly need on the all new, all redesigned, all free, all customizable, your state, your teams, your ESPN, the new ESPN Wisconsin app. I'm Jason Wilde in Green Bay. Jesse Nelson is in the Everlight Solar ESPN Madison studios. And from the airport where that poor, beaten-down hotel reviewer at the end of Ocean's 13 wins like $30 million from the slot machines, I'm hoping that happens for old boy, and then he shares some with us. He's the Packers Hall of Famer. He is taking up residency in Las Vegas almost to the degree that he did in Sonoma. He is Mark Tauscher. Tausch, good morning. It sounds like you're at the airport, which I don't think was supposed to be the plan for today.
So I am not at the airport. I wish I was at the airport.
Oh, no.
No.
You're not even there?
No. And I'm telling you, I'm trying to find somewhat of a quiet place where I'm. I got a big radio show I'm doing. People come to give in two rips at the hotel. But I found a beautiful little spot at a patisserie, P-A-T-I-S-S-E-R-I-E. Patisserie? It's like a bread joint. So it's
you're at a bread joint.
I thought it was going to be like from the potato corridor.
No, I wish. Let me tell you something. I've learned a few things. For me, Las Vegas, two day max. I am a 2 day max guy. Uh-huh. I am. I'm running on fumes. There is something about this place. You don't know. All of a sudden, you look and it's like 3 a.m. And then you can't sleep because you're on your time schedule. I just got kind of resituated from my last voyage. So then you get up and you have golf, and the golf this year started earlier. So I'm probably my per day sleep. Gary Brecka, who I've been following on Twitter, good health guy. He would not be happy with my sleep pattern. So
we'll have less sleep. Sitting, we'll be grumpy.
Yeah, I'm not even grumpy though. I'm just, you know, worn out. I'm excited to be back on the show. I was hoping that I would be in Madison doing the show at like 9:15. That was originally my plan. Okay. Red eye situation didn't go well. It just didn't work. So I'm keeping a positive attitude though. And I hope you can feel that.
I can.
That I'm keeping a positive attitude. So I'm still out in Las Vegas. I am hopefully going to be catching.
You sound delirious.
I'm not going to lie to you. I am. I don't know. At some point, if you don't hear me, it's not because there's a bad connection. It's because I have fallen asleep. So I am cranked up right now. I got a big old cup of mud, and I should be able to catch a flight. I have a noon operation here, which I think is, or no, I don't even know what time. I know I have to be out of here.
Don't miss it. If it takes off, don't miss it.
That is the plan.
Please don't stay longer.
Yeah, so that's kind of where I'm at. The trip has been great. Badger Desert Classic was fun. The golf was fun. The alumni, we had a great time. And I am only doing 2 days, though, from now on. 2 days and out, because I don't know what they do out here. You know, they say they pump oxygen in. Jesse, you love a good casino,
they
too.
They pump oxygen in?
Yeah, there's something. The lighting and the fact that there's no clocks.
Yeah, no clocks is big.
And the other thing is, I'm convinced there is some type of an oxidational deal that they keep the air and it's just fresher and it makes you think that it's constantly early. Like, I think that's what happens. So I don't know if that's if I'm just making stuff up.
No windows when you're in the casino, so you can't tell what time it is or if it's dark or light out.
Thank you, Jesse. Yeah. So I feel like Jesse's understanding where I'm at. And then I'm not going to lie to you. The house always wins. We all know that. But I got into something last night.
Oh, dear.
That I thought, I thought, what on earth? Why would the house do this? So I sit down. We're having a dinner before I was supposed to catch a flight, and it just didn't work. I sit down to play blackjack, and you know how it is. There's like little promos and different things at different tables and whatnot. So I just
Green
think
goblins.
I'm sitting down just to play a game. And all of a sudden, they're throwing these gold coins at me as I'm playing. And I'm like, oh, this is cool. It's free. What do you mean? Nothing is, as I tell my kids, nothing is free. There's things included, but nothing is free in life. There's a game, blackjack, that you play that if you get a 9, 10, or 11, or a pair, they throw you a gold coin, and then you have to throw deuces B up, slam the table with your fist, and they give you a free card. That's the code that they do. So I'm doing this. It's going great. Do a nice job. And I'm thinking to myself, I tell the people I'm at dinner with, I don't understand what they're doing. This is so good because I was getting a lot of pairs and I was getting a lot of 9-9-2.
They're having a lucky night.
So I'm like, this is awesome. We got to go play after dinner. And I go back and this never comes up. And I only play, again, this is how you win. You have to have a finite time and then you got to get out. Dinner reservation, 8 o'clock, boom, 7:30 start. You got to get out in 30 minutes. When you can play all night. So the trick to this, and, you know, I like to think I'm a somewhat smart guy. Maybe not today, but most days I'm a smart guy. The dealer gets to go to 22. What am I doing?
No. Wait, where was that piece of information in the gold coins, Mario?
They literally never hit 22. They were busting like 24, 25, 20, whatever it was. I didn't even know. And I got this other guy sitting next to me. He's putting chips down on my bet, which I'm like, can they do this? Like, what? The whole thing was like Willy Wonka. And then I come to the realization that the chocolate went bad, and it went bad quick because this 22 is a huge advantage to the house, and it's idiotic to play. I ain't doing it anymore, but it was too late. I was hooked.
Oh, dear.
Yeah, it's I'm like, well, it was good 30 minutes ago. It was good at before dinner. So I learned some lessons. I learned some lessons in life on this trip, and one of them is make sure you know what the heck you're playing before you sign up, and anything that's too good is too good for a reason. I learned that last night.
So, if I may briefly.
Absolutely, you may.
Because I agree with you. You're not getting schnookered. You're not getting scammed. You're a smart guy. The Nigerian princes aren't getting you. Do you think this was.
Here's the deal. I've been schnookered. I've gotten schnookered a couple times. I ended up. Am I even going to get into it? I had the three card Monty at Mardi Gras when I was in college. One of the all time schnookerings. I still
put that on the list, Jesse.
Three card Monty in New Orleans.
Yeah, and there was a casino that just opened in the Dominican. That there was like a ladle that they're pulling balls out, and I thought I couldn't lose
a ladle.
Yeah. It was with Sarah's aunt, and we. That was one of the. That was a real tough beat. So I have been schnookered. So I just want to make sure that's kind of where I'm at. All right.
Well, my understanding of the legend of Tausch is that you don't fall for the banana in the tailpipe very often. Yeah. I am a little surprised that someone who is so savvy, though, would not know the rules of engagement before kind of getting, you know, neck deep in this crazy, throw some coins, dealer could go to 22 wackiness that you encountered. And I'm just wondering if maybe, just maybe,
look, Jason,
your
Jason
senses are dulled by the fact that you're exhausted.
No doubt. I have not gotten any sleep. So that part is fair, but there is something about sitting somewhere and people firing gold coins at you that's enticing. It's kind of intoxicating. And then you get free cards and you're getting free doubles and the chips are stacking up and you just think, this is sick. This is sweet. And then I'm explaining it to the people we're having dinner with and they're getting excited about it. And then when we get there and we find out that when they get to 22, they don't bust. All of that goes away. Those gold coins get bleh real quick. And that's what happened. So yeah, I got schnookered. Because the odds for the
sure sounds like
obviously
it.
Are a lot better. Yeah, it was a lot better. So idiotic play by old T last night.
All right.
Can you even afford the bread you're at the?
Well, I just wanted to say, good question. It is a patisserie, and per
French.
Pipe Jim, it is French, and the bread should be excellent there. So I know you're not big on carbs. You're a big protein
I'm trying
guy.
To be.
But do yourself a favor, get a little bread during one of the commercial breaks before you leave. So we've got you till 11 Central, we think.
Yeah,
is that
and
correct?
That's 9 o'clock out here.
So it's 7:12
unless
now.
There's more issues in Newark, this? In which case we might have them the whole show.
Hopefully I'm not connecting through Newark. I don't know how I woke up from my hit with Jason, by the way. Thank you for subbing in for me with Vinny and the boys. I set my alarm. I don't know what I don't know why I don't understand this. I do my hit at 7:51. You do the hit when you set you. So I set the thing and I'm thinking, okay, I set it for 6:50. But I would have been late.
Yeah,
luckily,
an hour late.
Luckily, the phone ringing woke me up. Otherwise,
Can we get the audio from TMJ, from Vince Vitrano and Eric Bilstead and Greg Hill to hear what Groggy Tausch sounds like when Greg Hill pancake wakes him up?
You can. I'm sure that's available on.
Hey guys, great to be with you.
Golden's gonna be good.
Actually, how did you know that's what I said? Because that is what I was talking about. I do think Golden's going to be good. Golden Coins, not good. Matthew Golden, good.
Pella, great.
Oh, indeed it is. There is no better time to upgrade your windows and doors than right now because Pella is offering up to 6 years and 0% financing. Set your free in-home consultation. You can commit to nothing at this point, just like I am with my flights and getting home. They'll listen to your vision and suggest the Pella materials and customizations to make it a reality. Get 0% financing for up to 6 years. Certain restrictions do apply, and this deal ends May 31st. So visit PellaWI.com today to learn more.
Brian Bulaga, we can't get enough of him on this show. He's so smart, so insightful, and better rested than the regular host of the program. He is scheduled to appear next. It's Wildy and Tausch.
This is Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Call Gina Della from Pella today, 855-PELLA-WI, and online at PellaWI.com/radio.
I've got some famous friends you probably never heard of, but back in Rutherford County, our crowd is second to none. You might not know.
Over the last six days, I think I've talked to this guy more than I've talked to Paula. He's cousin sub twice. Now he's on again. And we couldn't be luckier. It is our famous friend and our top line, just like he replaced Tausch during that 2010 Super Bowl season. Our number one ranked cousin sub of the day. Cousin subs, we believe in better. It is Brian Bulaga. Brian, good morning. Hello again, my friend.
Good morning.
Are you sick of us yet?
No, it's good to see you. Tausch, are you in the airport?
No, I wish I was in the airport. I am in the hotel patisserie, just trying to do the show as I'm waiting to go to the airport to hopefully get home sometime today.
Oh, patisserie. Man, once you're stuck in Vegas, it's tough.
Blue, are you a Vegas guy? Because I'm 2 days. 2 days is all I need. It's all I want. It's all I need. And I'm double and a little bit more than double that as we sit here. I don't need to be here this long.
Woo. Yeah. I mean, Vegas is a 2 day max. It's 2 day max. And you got to catch that early flight out after 2 days. Like, you got to get out of there at like 6 a.m.
Mm-hmm.
You got to get out.
Or maybe a red eye if it actually leaves.
Yeah, I keep thinking red eyes because it sounds great. You stay up and then you just roll right over to the airport. Then you'll sleep on the plane and everything else will go. The problem is, like, heading back, if you need to get back, which I hopefully will for a baseball game that I'm supposed to coach.
Oh, God. Those poor children.
Yeah, it's a frustrating deal.
Play down but the again, butt! What's the matter with you?
Staying positive. It's a positive vibes only day for me. You try to do that because otherwise, if you do that 6 a.m. flight, you probably are going to struggle because then the connect. That's a whole other story. I'm not going to bore you with flight plans, but the red eye sounds great on the surface. Don't book it.
Hard to recover from.
I continue to tell myself not to, but I continue to do it because I think this time is going to be the great time. And unfortunately, that's not the case.
Brian, I am curious. So Tausch has, well, there was the time that he took up residency in Sonoma for about 2 months.
That was a great run. That was a great run.
That was by design, though. This was not. What's your worst stranded on a trip story that you've endured? Like Paula and the girls and I on one trip, we had all kinds of travel problems getting back, and they were still pretty little. And so whenever you travel with little people and then the schedule gets messed up, that can be a bit of a stressor. But I don't know if I've ever had one where it's just me trying to get back from Vegas and I'm in a bread shop in the hotel still hoping I can get home in time for a baseball game. And, oh, by the way, a big show tomorrow at the Rockford Hard Rock Casino tomorrow. So we're hoping Tausch makes it back.
Oh, God, I got to drive with him. Oh, no.
Well, if he doesn't get back, Jesse, you don't have to drive with him.
Yeah. Oh, man, that'll be a fun trip, Jesse. That'll be a fun
good
drive.
Luck.
Good luck. Yeah,
that'll be fun.
So what's your fun do you have one, Brian, where you ran into these types of challenges? Because it seems to be happening more and more of late.
Yeah, I mean, there was I was out in Pittsburgh, and you wouldn't think it'd be that bad of a, I mean, Pittsburgh to Florida, right? It's on the same coast. Got delayed in Pittsburgh, stayed there for about like 7-8 hours past my original flight time. Obviously, that stinks. So that means I missed my connection in Atlanta. So definitely missed that connection. Eventually, we leave Pittsburgh. So we fly down to Atlanta. So that means I got to stay the night in Atlanta. So that means I leave the airport. This was up for a golf trip, too. So that means I got to get my golf clubs, leave the airport, go check into a hotel somewhere at the, like, the, you know, the airport hotel, stay there, come back in, you know, the next morning thinking I'm going to catch the early flight to Sarasota. Well, that's sold out, obviously. Why wouldn't it be sold out? So there I am just sitting waiting for a standby, which I like makes me paranoid being standby. And I sit in the Sarasota airport or in the Atlanta airport till like 5 o'clock that till like all day, finally getting on one of the last flights out of Atlanta. So like where I should have been home a full day prior, I spend a full day in Atlanta eating a hotel or, you know, airport food, doing nothing. And I mean, it makes it just thinking about that experience, like gives me the heebie jeebies. I was so mad, fuming, like it just, I mean, I don't know how many different airlines I went to that flew into Sarasota. Like, do you guys have a seat available? Do you have a seat available? Do you have a seat available? Nope, sold out, sold out, sold out. Like, just would do anything, would pay anything to get on one seat. I'll sit in the middle for the hour and a half. I don't care. I just want to get home. Like, I know my golf clubs are on the Delta, like, or with Delta. Don't care. They'll get to Sarasota eventually, and I'll pick them up. Like, do not care at this point. But, nope, all sold out.
Well, hopefully Tausch, he allegedly has a ticket, so we will hopefully get him here. It is funny, we ended up on the subject of travel with Warren Brinson, who is their the Packers' sixth-round pick from Georgia, who is from the Atlanta area. So he's like, I hadn't taken a connecting flight since I was in, like, high school. And so connections for people that are in Green Bay, this is total normal travel experiences. You're surprised when you get a direct flight. So we were happy to inform Warren that there is an early morning one flight that goes back and forth to Atlanta. And he's now unhappy with Matt Klein for booking him on one that had a connection. So good start to his career. All right, we've got Brian Bulaga here. We've got Tausch in his patisserie or whatever we call this bread shop that he's in at his hotel.
Haven't heard from him in a couple minutes. You awake, old T?
Hey.
I'm still rolling, baby. You know it. Still rolling.
Did you guys?
How much NIL money did you raise for the program this weekend?
Great question.
We did a good job. We did good. We're ready to finally get back after Iowa. I'm not going to make any bold proclamations because that's not where I'm at. But we needed a weekend. We needed a week like this or a month, however I want to put it, down here in Vegas to get this thing going. And we got it.
It felt like a month. It felt like a month.
Oh, it feels like a month. A big month.
Tausch, do you have any questions for Brian that you can catch a quick cat nap while he's answering during?
Yeah, absolutely. So I missed Monday and Tuesday being out in Las Vegas trying to beat the Iowa Hawkeyes. Did Jason make any proclamations about any of these rookies that are his guy other than, you know, the kid that had the great coming out, the fourth round pick?
Yeah, Baron Anybody Sorrell, that, his dad is in the YouTube comments on a regular basis on our show, yes.
I love that. Any spindly, any comments that tripped your trigger as far as Jason's observations from the rookies this weekend?
Well, nothing, because what Jason said from the rookie, essentially the rookie individual period,
mini camp.
They didn't do anything. Yeah, they didn't do anything.
So this was the problem. Now, I could have, had it been Christian Watson's class, I still could have recognized him as wiry, not spindly. But all they did were individual drills, and Brian was blown away by that. Like, there was, as I mentioned, the Canadian quarterback that was the only quarterback in camp or in the practice did not throw a single pass to Matthew Golden or Savion Williams. He threw passes to Sean Mannion and to Luke Getsy. That was it. And into nets. The receivers did not catch a pass from a quarterback. They did a little bit of getting off the line of scrimmage with their release, and then they caught some balls from Jason Vrabel. So I don't know. You were in a different era where you came in and the veterans were just there, right? And then Mike McCarthy had the rookie orientation camps, so Brian got to get all the rookies and tryout guys and then the vets. These guys, this was like a trip to Disney World. They barely had to do anything. They did some walkthroughs where they, I'm sure they went through some of the playbook. Tausch, does that surprise you that that would be the approach?
It does, but it doesn't because this is the new era. And, I mean, for me, it was you're going. Like, there was no warming up period. It was, hey, here's Vonnie Holiday. He's going to come full tilt. There's no pads on. You don't really know the tempo yet, but just figure it out. And then it's trying to figure out the playbook. And I can remember, I think I told this, you know, Cliffy and I were rooming together at the old Motor Lodge down in Green Bay. And we had to get there early as rookies to go. It was just me and him. And we're going through the playbook and we're trying to figure it out. And then we're doing all the drills. We're doing reps with the twos and the threes. And then we do it. And we did that twice. We did a morning and then an afternoon. And then we tried to like study the book because we had the next day install for Saturday. And I just remember being completely exhausted like I am now, but from a physical standpoint, not from a sleep deprivation standpoint. And I think there's something to kind of pushing guys a little bit early to get an idea of where they're at. And I think in a perfect world, you do it this way where you give these guys a little grace. That grace was not what I recall going to rookie camp as a wiry young man in 2000.
All right, you were never wiry, let's be honest here. All right, so
that's fair.
I meant to say wired.
But I was you're not I didn't know we were gonna have the word police here when I'm dealing with 6 hours of sleep in 7 days, but I get you, Jason. You got it.
That one's on me. No corrections today. Be that as it may, I'm assuming, and then we can spend some more time with Brian. I'm assuming that you enjoyed one or two or maybe more than that Coors Lights during your time not getting any sleep in Las Vegas.
Yeah, I'm actually thinking about having one right now. Coors Light brewed with that three-step cold process, cold lager, cold packaged, and cold filtered. Man, it is made to chill, and you know what? I made sure those mountains are blue. That's when I know Coors Light's bottles and cans are cold activated and chilled to perfection. Sub responsibly. I have done that. Coors Light, Golden, Colorado.
More with Brian Bulaga.
What are you laughing about? You have to say you did responsibly. I don't know. It makes it more suspicious.
The thing about Las Vegas is you're going to be you're pretty much forced to, and you should. You're going to celebrate responsibly when you're out here. That's just how it is.
Yes, because when I think of Las Vegas, Nevada, the first thing I think of responsibility. Is people behaving responsibly. Yep.
I don't know if there's another city in our union that you would be, I would say, that ain't your town. I would say Las Vegas and New Orleans would be the two. I'd say, yeah. Jason, you're good. You don't need to go.
Great food, great shows, some other stuff that maybe isn't up my alley. All right, more with Brian Bulaga, our cousins. Well, he's not a cousin some of the day to day. He's been around a lot lately. But if Tausch falls asleep at his bread shop, he might be. More Wildy and Tausch straight ahead. Stick around.
NBA playoffs continue on ESPN Radio. The Denver Nuggets win Game 1 in Oklahoma City. Can they make it two straight? Game 2 of the Thunder and Nuggets. Coverage begins today at 9 Eastern on ESPN Radio and on the ESPN app. Presented by Indeed.
I've got some famous friends you probably never heard of. But back in Rutherford County, our crowd is second to none. You might not know them here in this big city.
With Brian Bulaga, live from his home in Florida, and with Mark Tauscher, live from a bread shop inside his hotel in Las Vegas as he works his way home. Brian, one of the things that we didn't get to, and then we'll see what Tausch wants to find out from you if he stays awake at his table. We didn't spend a whole lot of time talking about the two offensive linemen that the Packers drafted. Anthony Belton, who was the second-round pick, mammoth tackle fellow out of NC State, and seventh-round pick John Williams out of Cincinnati, who was recruited by Luke Fickell to the Bearcats program and played for him, who also is an aerospace engineer graduate. So he's literally a rocket scientist. Which will be very interesting to see how that helps or doesn't help his taking in the playbook and learning the plays. He says that being smart helps you. You know that as well. I'm curious, though. They are both really big dudes. Not that you weren't a big dude. You're a big dude, too. But you take those two picks. You take Aaron Banks. Do you think there has been a, pardon the pun, changing of the guard on this offensive line as they get bigger and bigger and bigger?
Yeah, I mean, I think that, and we kind of talked about this a little bit too, but I think there's a shift in mindset of what they want this group to look like up front and kind of mentality change of where they want to go with this run game and how they want it to look. And I think because of how good Jacobs was last year with a lot of the principles they were doing in the run game with the duo and downhill run scheme and a lot of tight inside zone type run game, that's the body style that they got with those types of guys. I mean, Banks, monster human being, obviously. Belton, monster human being. And then obviously I'm blanking on the seventh round pick's name.
John Williams. Is that what it is? Forgettable name.
Williams, yeah. I mean, no, it's not. I should know that. But I got a name. I said Williams. Another really big, big guy. So, like, you look at kind of the direction they're going, and they're kind of looking, or it seems like they're going towards the bigger-bodied offensive lineman. Now, like you said, it wasn't like when I was there or like when Tausch was there, we were small by any stretch of the imagination, but we certainly didn't have a guy that was over 320 pounds. Like, we just didn't. Like, we were all from that. Maybe TJ, if he ate heavy that week, he would be 320. Like, right? Like, seriously. Like, and that's just being honest. But, like, TJ was like a 315 guy. Like, we were all 315 and under. Like, that's where we played at. And we were never 330. Like, that's just where we're at. Maybe, Tausch, I don't know where Tausch's guys were at with Flanny and Rivera and those guys. But, like, they weren't the 335, 340, you know, category either. I mean, Cliffy was a big guy, but he was never like that. I don't think so.
Well, it depends if we're out in Vegas. If we were out in Vegas for a week or two.
Well, depends. But it kind of looks, and Tausch, you can tell me if I'm wrong, it seems like, and I hope they don't get away from the LaFleur model of what he's really good at, which is the outside zone and setting teams up with this stretch outside zone, which I mean, Banks is from that school of thought, right? Like, that's the Shanahan scheme, is the stretch outside zone. Like, that's the bread and butter. I mean, he comes from that scheme, so he knows how to run that scheme. But it seems like this Philly mindset of giant human beings up front and hiding backs as long as you can is, like, you know, kind of what is being done. And, like, to me, I'm not saying it's a bad thing. I'm definitely not saying it's a bad thing, but it just seems that seems to be the shift. And whether or not I'm right about that, I don't know. But I could just say this. There wasn't many guys that are that size that were being drafted in my time there. It just wasn't a thing.
So, Blue, how much of that do you think – comes back to what that playoff game looked like against Philly? Because they're always, you know, the old copycat league bit. That's a cliche, and teams will say, this is how Philadelphia won. We want to win a championship. But I really think that Elgton Jenkins injury and how the offense looked, it set a major red flags for everybody up there, because Matt LaFleur has done things a certain way. Last year with Josh Jacobs, they shifted. We discussed that ad nauseum and what that looked like. And the idea that you're going to, you know, part of the outside zone is all of that marrying up. Josh Jacobs likes being on a gun. He likes to do it. There's a lot of stuff that is now almost like you're adapting to where you're at. And Philly did it with these big guys, and Green Bay got punked. They got bully balled by Philly's defense. And they're looking at it saying, we're not interested in just making the playoffs and being a seventh seed. We need to be able to we need to be able to play bully ball too. Because in order to get through the NFC now, Philly ain't going anywhere. Detroit, their defensive line, nobody, if you want to win against the big boys, you got to be you got to be able to play bully ball. And I don't think they thought they could. And that's why they're bringing a couple bullies in to kind of reset that mindset. That's at least how I look at it.
Yeah, I mean, you're right. What happened in Philly when Elton went out, I think for sure sent off the alarm bells, right? Like that definitely sent off the alarm bells. Yep. Yeah, I mean, that definitely sent off the alarm bells. And obviously, I mean, you know this, Tosh. Like, when you lose a guy, right, a starting guy, a high-quality guy, and you bring in a backup, there's obviously going to be some drop in play, right? Like, that's just inevitable, no matter what, right? Like, I mean, but what happened was enormous, right? And then what incurred was obviously Philly's D-line doing whatever they wanted, right? And they at least interior wise, they did whatever they wanted. And Green Bay this offseason going to get Banks, and then they get Belton, and then Goody says Belton's not competing for the left tackle job, which then tells me he's going to be competing for an interior job, which then tells me that's right tackle, because he's obviously not competing for the left guard spot. I mean, right guard, excuse me, because he's not competing for the left guard spot with Banks. So you're right. They are looking to get bigger and more, I guess, like you could say, bully ball interior of that offensive line to combat that situation, right? To combat the Phillies, combat the Detroit, you know, defensive lines and the bigger groups up front. Because the NFL goes through these patterns and changes every 5 or 6 years, I feel like. Like, the NFL constantly changes in the body types and the style of play, and this is where we're at right now, right? Like, this is it. This is the flavor. And you have to be able to adapt and change to it. And I'm going to tell you what, like, if you're able to get these large human beings, right, to run LaFleur's scheme and hide Jacobs for that long, and Jacobs is able to make a cut and go vertical – it's going to be devastating to defenses because they're not going to be able to see Jacobs. And then by the time he explodes through the line of scrimmage and he's onto a linebacker or a safety, he's already 5 yards down the field like Saquon is. And that's scary stuff, man, because those backs, when they get to the open space and no one's touched them and they got a full head of steam, you don't want to see them with that head of steam and all that room to operate. So I'm hoping – while I know Jacobs loves the downhill scheme and he loves the duo because he's so good at jump cutting and finding open space, I still hope that they get back to LaFleur's bread and butter principles because it is so good with the play action and how it marries. So that's what I hope still.
And the question I have is, because you can have all that, and you know, the idea of road graders, I mean, there were road graders on our teams that played, but the league is still going to be about athleticism and getting up on the next level in that outside zone game or getting up on the linebackers. But Josh Sitton said it best. You know, you can run the football, you can do all that, but offensive linemen are paid to protect the quarterback. And when you get these mauler types and you end up having a franchise quarterback, and this is what's unique about Green Bay, it was always, if you can't pass protect, you can't play, period, fin. If you're a running back and you don't know the protections and you aren't going to be out there, you're not going to be out there when it's passing and it's that time. So that is going to be the interesting part. You go to this, you go big, you go physical. Can you protect the quarterback? Because Jordan Love is $55 million in. You better still be able to do that. And I think that's going to be the process as you watch some of these battles unfold. Yeah, it's going to be great. You get a couple of big, you know, pancake blocks, and they're firing pancakes at the screen on ESPN. That's all great. But can you protect Jordan Love when the money's on the table? Because I still believe that's going to be the determining factor.
That's right. Sitton always said it. Run block for show, pass block for dough. And you're at the end of the day, like, you're not running the ball on third down and 8. You're just not doing it. You're pass blocking. And who makes the most money on the team? Who are you protecting? The guy behind you. And that's just what it is.
So do you think that
Belton, is he going to have a shot? And I know we haven't seen him. He's done some individual stuff, but is there a chance he unseats Sean Ryan?
I think they're going to give him a chance.
Right.
I think they're going to give him every chance, is what it appears, right? Like, I mean, that's what it seems like. And again, like, Sean Ryan, I mean, the guy, he's battle-tested. He's done this, I feel like, every year. Like, and it's the same thing with Sheed, right? Like,
mm-hmm.
they go into it, and they have to be, you know, they have to be ready to compete for their job. And I'm not saying that is a bad thing for the team. That is a really good thing for the team. I look at it from the individual standpoint, right? Because, like, I understand the battle mentality of it for the individual. Like, it's a rough business, right? Like, it just is. Like, but I feel like this is going to be a camp battle. There's going to be two camp battles going on in the offensive line. It's going to be the right guard, and it's going to be the left tackle. And that's going to be two major spots to look at throughout camp. So for sure, yeah, I definitely think.
I think, Jason, that last season, while everything was about wide receivers and Jordan Love's injury and is Jeff Hafley's defense, you know how you kind of get caught up in storylines, and obviously mm-hmm. the offseason we do this a bunch. I think the biggest underreported or not talked about issue was the O-line, and it was a blind spot, I believe, from a media standpoint, and you saw it. And the reason this urgency talk and why it kind of irritated me, Goody wasn't being urgent. Goody felt the DEFCON urgency was the guys up front. And just because we didn't feel that or think that, that's what they felt. And that's what they've addressed in the biggest way on this football team. And they know that they need to be that much better. And I don't think as a group, and I could even put us in that, I think we all thought Josh Myers struggled. I think this is pretty much a referendum that almost everybody on that group struggled last year. It was not good enough, and they're not going to just stand pat and expect it to get better. They went and made moves to do that.
All right, so let me devil's advocate you on that, though. And, Brian, you watch the film every week, and you don't pull punches, right? I mean, look, Josh Myers is a great dude. Right, we really like him, and he overcame a lot last year. He lost his dad in training camp. He had some injury issues he played through. He tore his pec on Thanksgiving and played the rest of the season. He is not one of the great centers. He's not Jason Kelce. We all get it. Otherwise, he would have had a bunch of suitors, and instead he ended up with the Jets on like basically a backup deal, right? 1 year, I think $3.5 million is what he got. So I get that. But is it possible that watching the Philadelphia Eagles run roughshod over them after having their best offensive lineman leave with a stinger after four plays, that maybe this is possibly a little bit of an overcorrection? Because for me anyway, if Jordan Morgan was dealing with that shoulder injury from training camp on, so let's see what he looks like now, if he looks like a first-round pick. But you're telling me that a group that had their quarterback get sacked only 14 times, that had a running back who had 1,300-plus yards and 15 touchdowns, for a group that when there were times where they had the chance to run out the clock, they did it. Are you telling me they were that bad? Like, I don't think they were as good, and they had a lot of continuity because a lot of guys played a lot of snaps together. I think they were the second most by an offensive line to play the starting five together. But did you see them being that bad? Because, and I know what Tausch is thinking, because I think about it all the time too. Rob Domofsky wanting to do a positive story about the offensive line, and Matt LaFleur absolutely pooping on it from the podium. Like, that does not happen very often. Usually coaches just go along with the narrative so you can write a nice little story, and he said, no way. Basically, they haven't been that good. So you're the one who watches the film with the knowledge of an offensive lineman. That is way more than I have. Were they that bad? Can you say that now on May 7th when you didn't necessarily say it on November 7th or December 7th?
Yeah, I mean, like, I'm not changing my description of that.
Yes.
Like, I'm not changing it. Like, I'm not changing my tune. I think, and like here, like here, like here's the thing. Like Tausch is correct. Like Myers, like what I've stated from the beginning of this season to the end of the season, like Myers upgraded his play. That's what I've stated from the beginning to the end of it. Now, what where that standard is to what the Packers wanted or to what the rest of the league wanted, that's not my job to judge that. What I've said, how he's played this year compared to years past, was better. And I think I'll go over that with anybody, and I'll feel great about going over the tape with that with anybody. But if we go and we look at individually these guys and how they played as a unit, I don't look at it as they played poorly. I think there were games, and I think where LaFleur gets irritated is in the games against Detroit, in the games against Minnesota, there were quarters and times where they struggled, and he doesn't like that, okay? So, like, we're looking at certain games, and we're talking big games, right? Obviously, big moments and big games where this group kind of struggled at times, and you can't have that from this group. Like, you just can't, because in these situations, you're going to need your quarterback to perform, and obviously your running back, because that was a lot of this offense last year. And you can't have the guys up front struggle in moments of the game. They need to be kind of workhorses for you and be a point of solidarity and work as one and be a consistent. And they weren't in those situations. So that's where I think his frustration was. I don't think it was an overall standpoint for that group. But the moves that they made obviously stem from the Philly game. That was a big one. Obviously, the Philly game was a big move. I think another one, just like the wide receiver group, it stems from the contract situations that are happening in that offensive line room. Three guys up this year, right? You have to make moves. You have to regroup this offensive line because contractually you cannot re-sign all of them. So there's another move. And I think also, as Tausch mentioned, they want to be able to play a little bit of bully ball. They want to be able to have that mentality, and they want to compete or have these guys compete for those jobs to be able to, if they need to, do that up front. Now, how those jobs shake out, right? Like, can Belton beat out Sean Ryan, or is Jordan Morgan going to beat out Sheed? I don't know. I don't know how that's going to play out, right? Like, I mean, but obviously both those guys have that opportunity, or going to have that opportunity to do that. But By no means did like Sean Ryan play bad. Like I will stand on that hill. Like I'm not gonna go there. Rashid, I said it in the beginning of the season. He struggled in the beginning of the season. I think he got better as the season went on. I thought Zach Tom, I think as the season got later in the season, Zach Tom struggled a little bit, and I think because of his pec, he struggled towards the end of the season. And, like, so I think the way I watched the film and how I looked at it, I think I was pretty accurate with how I looked at these guys. But I'm not going to sit here now in May because of how they drafted and who they brought in from a money standpoint, be like, ah, they played bad. Nope, I'm not doing
so,
it.
Like, let me ask you this then, because one of the things that I'm always leery of as a reporter is I don't ever want to assume things, right? We know what happens when you assume. But for me, and look, I get to work with two of the all-time great offensive linemen in Packers history. And they also write my stories for me when I'm writing about Zach Tom, and they both talk so glowingly about him, like you did the previous season, and you guys basically did all the heavy lifting for one of my stories. Is there any chance that they don't see him through the same lens that you guys do? Is there any because one thing that is different about him is that he is not one of these big, gargantuan offensive linemen. Goody even said he's different. Now, that's okay to me, right? I'm okay with a right tackle who doesn't fit the big, mammoth offensive lineman suit. But is there any chance that the inside 1265, they're not looking at him the same way that two guys who played the same position at an elite level have seen him play? Is there any chance of that?
Tosh, you want to take it first?
Yeah, I mean, we'll find out. Like, all this stuff is cute, and we're all sitting here talking, they're talking. And the bottom line is, and, you know, Brian brought up contracts, right? Well, there's three guys that are going to be up, and you're not going to keep anybody. And I agree. You do start maneuvering, but you do that in the draft. You don't go out and pay top dollar
right
for the top free agent guard if it's about money and it's about that. It's about getting better. They didn't think it was good enough. And, yes, we can watch the film and we can think the guys are doing good and they're doing it. Do I think that there's always a little overreaction after a playoff loss? Yes, that is the world that we live in. And those things do leave marks on general managers' mindsets of we can't win doing it this way. And when you start looking at Zach Tom, I'm going to be shocked if he doesn't have an extension before camp.
Yeah, me
because
too.
Because I would think Zach Tom and his team are going to look at it in a way, and obviously not to the same degree that Jordan Love did, but he had the peck. He's a really good player. And I could see him saying, well, I don't know how much practice I'm going to do come training camp until I get a new deal. Mm-hmm. And my guess is, they're going to see – they see things. You heard Goody talk. You heard Domofsky pretty much put him in the Hall of Fame as a center.
Which he's not playing.
That's not what he plays. So we all look at him as a really good offensive lineman, and I'll be shocked if Green Bay – now, what value dollar-wise that comes with, Zach Tom ain't going anywhere. He will be the right tackle in Green Bay for the next 4 or 5 years. I'd almost guarantee that. I'm not going to give you the homer 100%, but I feel pretty strongly that's how Green Bay feels about him too.
Yeah, I mean, I think for sure. I mean, there's one thing Green Bay doesn't do, right? And that's let young, good offensive linemen walk out the door. Like, guys that are playing at a really high level. Like, that's just something they've never done. Like, I don't mm-hmm. – guys in, like in their – going into their second contract, like, letting those guys just walk out the door. Like, I've never seen them do that. So I don't see them doing that with Zach Tom in this instance. I mean, if they did, I would be shocked. I really would be. Because you look at it, like, obviously there was going to be change with Myers departing, and the plan was for Elton to kick in, right? Mm-hmm. Like, Elton kicks in. Now we have an opening at left guard, and we saw what happened in the Philly game when we brought in someone from the bench to play left guard. It did not go well, right? So the big acquisition in free agency was obviously the was the reaction to that. Tosh is right. It had to be better, obviously. Like, there is no doubt about that. Like, that is the reaction to it. I don't think Tosh, and maybe you disagree with me, I don't think the reaction to that was Elton wasn't good enough at left guard. I don't think that was it. Like, maybe you think that, but I don't think it was that Elton wasn't good enough at left guard.
No,
yeah, I don't think it was that.
Yeah, I looked at it as Elton Jenkins, and we said this last year, all season, that Elton Jenkins is going to finish his career as a center. That's what we thought.
And yeah.
There's nobody – what was apparent to them, you can't count on Jordan Morgan. Jordan Morgan wants to play left tackle. He's going to get that opportunity to win that spot, and we need to be a lot better. That's what Green Bay decided to do. That was their urgency point because the NFL is not complicated. You can hear things. There's storylines. But when pen has to hit paper, that's when you find out what's really going on. So when you want to say Sean Ryan's playing good football, I agree with Brian. I thought Sean Ryan took a step. He got challenged, and I thought he met the challenge last year. Now can he do it again? That Green Bay will say he's good enough that we need to pay him. That's what this comes down to, and we'll find that out along with some other things up front.
All right, last thing before we Brian go. You both talked about Elton. There is some question, and if I showed you my to-do list, this is on it, to text him today. There are some rumblings that maybe he has not been at the off-season program. Now, I don't know that for certain. He was not in the pictures that were posted, right?
Juicy.
We did not get a chance to ask Matt LaFleur. So I want to be very clear. I don't know about his attendance. Okay?
But it's juicy. You'd admit it's juicy if he's not there.
If accurate, then it is definitely very juicy.
Okay.
But he's got 2 years left on his deal. They just paid Aaron Banks a crap ton of money. He plays for a team that he knows they don't like to give out third contracts. He's got 2 years left on his second contract.
Oh, listen to these breadcrumbs.
I'm at the patisserie,
and there's breadcrumbs all on the floor, and they're leading to some real juicy stuff. It's juicy.
If you're him, and they have predicated their offensive line juggling on you moving to center, is there a reason for him to say, look, let's be preemptive. I'm going to turn 30 this year. I know how you feel about guys that are 30 years old.
God, I wish I had a picture of Hansel and Gretel that I could put up on the screen right now.
I think it's still at the Thunder Trio. So, do you have any, I don't want to say concern, because, again, we don't know. Maybe he had stuff going on, and maybe he'll be there on Monday. But do you have any concern that maybe this whole plan hinges on a guy that wants to make sure he gets his before it's too late and he gets into the final year of his deal, and then they just say, okay, well, now we'll play Jacob Monk there instead in 2026 or whatever it might be. Brian?
You
look
it's stunned. Certainly an interesting – I mean, listen, I don't – if he is away because of a contractual situation, which, again, I have no idea either, it would be interesting because, like you said, a lot of these moves are based off him kicking to the center position. And, like, he is a very important piece to this because he is a very smart player. He knows this scheme in and out. He's very smart. He's very talented. He's learned from a lot of good players about this scheme. Like, he was next to Corey for a long time. Mm-hmm. He was next to Dave for a long time. Like, he knows this thing in and out. So he's a very valuable piece to this puzzle for the Packers. So, like, and he knows that too. So if that is the play here, I wouldn't be shocked. And, you know, the thing is, like, if he looks to get like a year added and more money, like, I would do it.
Yes.
I mean, certainly I would do it. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I would do it.
Yep. I'm Team Elton. All right. I've got a text message started. I don't anticipate a reply, but I will inquire. The breadcrumbs, again, I have no idea. Maybe he had family things. Maybe he was there and they just missed a picture of him. But I do think this is something that we need to monitor. Brian, thank you for stepping in. As always, you're the best. We appreciate you.
All right, guys.
Enjoy the rest of your day.
Yep. Take care.
That is Brian Bulaga. Mark Tauscher is in Las Vegas at the Bread Shop, and he's talking about American Family Insurance. Hopefully, the patisserie is insuring carefully.
Just like a great team, we just talked O-line for a long time, and just like a great team needs great protection, American Family Insurance knows your family needs it as well. That's why they make life better, protecting your dreams with the right home and auto policy. So insure carefully and dream fearlessly with American Family Insurance. Get a quote or find an agent at amfam.com.
More Wilde and Tausch next, live from Las Vegas and Green Bay, Wisconsin. Two towns very similar to each other, so stick around.
The Milwaukee Brewers, the Houston Astros.
Breaking ball hammer deep, right center field, way back, that the track, the wall, goodbye.
Today on 100.5 ESPN. Because I'm a hazard to my.
Kick off the 10 o'clock hour here in a couple minutes because Jesse, now that there's no paywall, is reading Channel 3000 unlike the old Madison.com. Yeah, surprising, I know. And he read my story about Christian Watson's recovery, and I want to get Tausch's insights, having been through that twice, even though different type of players. Tausch, before we can do that, though, we need to close out the 9 o'clock hour, and you need to tell us about why you joined me at UW Credit Union.
Well, people ask me, why, old T, why did you join UW Credit Union? Is it because Jason did? Sure. Is it to keep your banking local? Yep. Is it the member first service, the great perks like early payday? All of that. But honestly, I just wanted that Bucky debit card. It's so fun. You pull it out of your wallet, red, black, and beautiful face. And if you love Wisconsin like I do, you just can't pay with anything else. Fandom will make you do crazy things, but this just makes sense. So become a UW Credit Union member like I did and get your Bucky card. Federally insured by NCUA. Terms and conditions do apply.
Was Bucky at the tables with you guys last night or the day before?
Bucky was not down here. I don't know if Bucky am. No Bucky this year at the Badger Desert Classic.
Getting ready for graduation. That makes sense.
Yeah, it's coming up. It's that time of year.
He knows the dangers of Sin City. All right, that is the end of the 9 o'clock hour. We'll talk about Christian Watson's recovery to kick off the 10 o'clock hour. And we'll do that in 2 minutes. So stick around. It's Wilde and Tausch.
Don't go anywhere. Another hour of Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin, is coming up next on ESPN Wisconsin and the ESPN Wisconsin app.